I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beaten Track podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. And today's episode is with Billy Nomates. And I met with Tor, I should refer to her as her name as well. I met with Tor over Zoom during lockdown to record this. And Billy Nomates' music was I found out about it through doing this podcast with Jason from Sleaford Mods. And we talk about this as well during the podcast. And it's a cracking episode. Tor had a fascinating story in her, and we had a really good chat, and I think you're going to really enjoy this. Before we get on with that chat, I just want to say thanks to Scroobius Pip and everybody at the Distraction Pieces Network. Thanks to 76 for producing this podcast. And I should also say as well, if this is your first time listening to Off the Beaten Track, then please go and have a look in the back catalogue, because there's over 100 episodes of pod chats with loads and loads of really cool and interesting creative people, whether they be producers, musicians, actors, DJs. Go and have a look, and I'm sure you'll find something that will interest you. And if that's not enough, I do also have a Patreon page, so I put a standalone episode out each week over on there. You can find out about all of this at offthebeatentrackpodcast.com. Anyway, back to business. Please enjoy today's episode of Off the Beaten Track Podcast with Billy Nomates. I've got an announcement. Save Our Souls Clothing, www.sosclothing.co.uk. Why am I telling you this? Because they're our official sponsor. Yeah, that's right. Go and check them out, because their clothing is off the scale. You're going to love it. So they've decided they want to be our sponsor, which is amazing. And what I have to do is I have to tell you about why they're amazing. So here's a little bit of blurb. So they've only been going a year, and they're based in Southend-on-Sea, just up the road from me. They put the company together based on a love of tattoos and alternative music, and they've worked with some of the greatest artists around the world to produce these items of clothing that are as unique as you lot. All of the designs are printed using biodegradable, sustainable and water-based inks. In addition to that, they only print on garments made by members of Fair Wear Foundation. I mean, come on, great clothing and a conscience. Since going live in April last year, they've seen their audience grow massively and are now selling orders all across the world. And they were recognised by Cosmopolitan magazine as one of the best sustainable clothing brands, alongside names such as Stella McCartney. I mean, that's quite a first year, right? So go and check them out, because they've put a lot of love into supporting this podcast, and I couldn't be happier. What else they've done is they've given you 15% off. So if you head over to www.sosclothing.co.uk, do a bit of shopping, see what you like, throw it in the basket, and then on the way out, put in the discount code BEAT15, BEAT15, and that'll save you 15% off. Amazing, right? www.sosclothing.co.uk. Official sponsors of Off the Beaten Track podcast. Let's get back to that podcast. It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network with me, Stu Whiffin. Okay, we are recording. Sitting opposite me today via the means of Zoom in lockdown is Tor, aka Billy No Mates. Hello.
Hello. All right.
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for giving up your time today.
Thanks for asking me. That's great.
Well, before we get on with the playlist and your song choices, I'm just kind of curious to know, as both a human being and a creative, how you found the last sort of few months and also the last few weeks as well, which has seen the kind of the madness of the world just go to another level. Like, how have you found the whole thing, Tor?
Oh. I don't know. Do you know what? It's been a real mixture because there's been moments where, especially of the last few weeks, where I've gone, hang on, is this a really good thing? Is this a really good moment where the world has actually been forced to stop and now all this stuff that needs to be addressed for so long is getting that attention, and the world is watching. I mean, the world's at home on their phone and the world is watching stuff they never normally might not see. So so in some ways I felt quite hopeful the past few weeks and been like, hang on a second. This could all be a good thing.
Yeah, totally.
Initially I was like, oh God, like everyone else. Like, I mean, I just finished the album as well. So we were very much ready to go right full into shows. And I was really in sort of performance mode, being like, cool, we've been in the studio locked away for a long time, blah, blah, blah. Now we're coming out. And then the world just went, no one's going out. You're going nowhere.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been a mix. I feel really up and down with it. Some days I kind of get in a good routine, and then other days I just kind of can't seem to do anything, which is really frustrating. I think I speak to people there and they say the same thing, where it's like, it's either a full on day where you're like, blast through this, or you just go, I need to stare at the wall for like 3 hours and just, that will make things okay.
Do you know what? It's so weird you say that, Tor, because I've been recording like loads of podcasts since like we've been in sort of lockdown, and purely just to kind of also keep my head straight and keep me talking and interacting, connecting with people. And everybody I speak to, you know, is generally a creative in some way, shape or form. And they've all said pretty much what you've just said there. You know, some days they're just like 100% like, rah, I've got to get this out, I've got to do this. And then, you know, then the next day it's just like, maybe I'll do something tomorrow. Like,
it's literally 0 to 100 for me. I mean, I'm a bit like that prior to everything going on in the world, to be honest. But this has just kind of heightened your brain going, right, must do something great, and then just going, oh my God, just don't do anything. So
okay, well let's get chatting about songs and stuff. So Tor, for the first track, I'd like you to tell me the song that you think has the greatest ever intro.
This is really tough because
it's meant to be, Tor, it's meant to be.
Yeah, but it was seriously tough. In the end I went with Marlena Shaw's California Soul.
Great,
because
choice.
It's just, oh, I mean, anything that comes after that, like whatever comes after that intro, it's gonna be stellar.
Yeah.
It's just the orchestration of it, the way it kind of sets, it kind of ends on that jazzy note, and it's so epic and so, oh, it's just brilliant.
that's a great shout.
Nice.
Well, just in regards to sort of intros and stuff, and I always like to ask musicians when I have them on this question, like, how much emphasis do you put when making music on the intro? And just because we're in a world, it feels, where music's very, I won't say disposable, but very, we're flooded with music, and it's so easy to get distracted on Spotify with, you might like this, you might like this, and the same when you're constantly trying to sort of distract you from, you know, appreciating the art in front of you. Are they considerations when you're making music that you need to grab them quick? And
I think especially with this record, yes, I would say definitely, because I am conscious that I am actually one of those people with short attention spans. And if something can reel you in straight away, it's just, Yeah, no, it is important. It is important. I do think about it. Every now and then, though, I kind of go the opposite way and think I want to build a slow burner. And yeah. What I want to do is kind of zigzag the other way and start something and then let it take a different... So, yeah. But, I think as a debut artist, I was actually very conscious to be like, make sure that the bass line or whatever it is just punches in that first... and I like it in a song as well. If something's just like, you know, straight in your face, you can't help but be like, right, you've got me, I'm here.
Yeah, I mean, there's two reasons why I reached out to you, because I recorded with Jason from Sleaford Mods last week, and for the last track where you recommend a song that many may not know that you want them to hear, he shouted at you and was very much singing your praises. And I was like, right, I'm going to go and listen to that. And then I found No, and I was like, fuck. And like from the minute that bass line kicked, I was like, I'm on board. Wicked. This is cracking. So hence 2 weeks later, we're chatting. So it's great.
Wicked.
Okay. So for track two, I want to know the first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you, please, Tor.
So it will be James Taylor, Baby James, with Copperline.
Lovely.
There was a lot of James Taylor in our house. It was all kind of Americana stuff growing up that I remember mostly. I remember hearing that. I must have been, God, I really had to think about this. I probably must have been about 5 or 6. And my dad had a record player and he just put it on. And it was the first time I properly remember being like, what's that? That's just done something to me. I don't know what he's saying. I don't work down Copperline, but I feel like even as a 5 or 6 year old, there was something about it that I was like, wow, that's done something. I don't know what.
What do you think that emotion was in hindsight?
It was just... I listened to this last night to try and kind of get there, and it's so difficult to say. It's just something so raw and human about it. It's got such a human sound, which is maybe a bit of a cop-out word, but I don't know really how to describe it. It just resonated with me in a way that I thought, I don't know how he's made that. How has he made those chord structures, and how has he made me feel something? You know, it's really difficult to explain. It's real cop out, but.
So were your parents music fans then? So if James Taylor's on at home, they've obviously got good taste. So was you exposed to lots of music growing up?
It's weird. So my dad was. My dad is a musician, not a working musician now, but he was a music teacher at the local school and was always in bands and stuff. So he had a massive influence on what I was listening to growing up. But he was massively into Americana stuff and quite soft Americana stuff. Like James Taylor, I remember a lot of John Denver. A lot of John Denver growing up. So he was massively responsible for kind of bringing in good stuff. And that's kind of how I ended up getting into Northern Soul as well, because he would bring home these kind of American acts, and then Northern Soul was kind of, you know, he was really into that soulful thing as well. So, I was quite lucky in that respect to kind of be exposed to these different, especially being from the East Midlands as well. It's like, wow, it was just mind blowing.
So where was that? Where was home then, Tor?
So home was Leicestershire. So I grew up in a little market town called Melton Mowbray. So just outside Leicestershire. And yeah, it was a place.
Okay, all right. Well, I want to move forward a little bit to school. And was school there? Did you spend like your years at school there? Okay.
Yeah, school was there.
So for track three, Tor, I want to know the song that reminds you of your time at school, please.
So I'm going to go with the Lars song, Feeling, which is a track off. It's like a 2-minute track off their album, and. I remember I would listen to it all the time, kind of like now in massive, great big studio headphones that I'd nick from my dad's like treasure chest of stuff with a CD player. like big bulky CD player, like shoved into a pocket. And yeah, it just really reminds me of school and being excited by music and being excited by finding stuff that had energy into it. I just loved anything with energy. I still do, but anything with energy in it was, and that song is just this 2 minute, like blow your brains out kind of thing. So
that's a strange record for someone. I don't actually know how old you are, but I'm, you know, I know I'm a lot older than you, and that was out when I was at school, and that was like, the Lars was the band that were like, I mean, when they were like breaking through, it was like, yeah, have you heard the Lars? You heard this album? And it was like, and then obviously There She Goes come out, and you know, everything sort of exploded for them. But that's quite a strange record for a younger soul to pick up on. How did you discover that?
That was, so I remember it was a friend of mine at school had the album. And I think it was like from his dad's like collection, and he just brought it in one day. And goes,
now you're making me feel old. Now it's from his dad's collection. Thanks, mate.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it was just his collection.
Yeah.
But he brought it in and was like, "Listen to this," and I was like, "Well, this is the great thing about music is like they were relevant and as new to me as any time that they would come out." You know, yeah. And to me, it was like, I'd just discovered this band. So I was like, wow, the Lars, you guys heard the Lars. Like, So, yeah.
How was school? Did you enjoy it?
I hated it. No, miserable.
Why didn't you enjoy school?
I was, well, my dad was the local music teacher.
At your school?
At my school.
Okay. Right?
So I wasn't cool at all. People did not think I was cool in any way, shape, or form. I also played violin in the school orchestra up until about year 10. And that was just not cool in any, like, it was just not cool. And people just didn't really think I was cool. And yeah, I was, growing up, I was quite chubby as well, genuinely carried quite a bit more weight than I do now. And I just, yeah, kids are cruel. And it was kind of one of the, I was into music. And I was into weird music. And that's not cool. Like, when you grow up, you're like, I was fucking cooler than any of you.
Yeah. You got to wonder what all them other people are doing now. I bet they're not doing anything that exciting.
Exactly. At the time, though, you're really not cool. Like, seriously not cool.
And the geeky ones are always the coolest ones in the end. Always.
I mean, we prevail, so.
So what did you want to be when you was at school?
Do you know, the thing was, I, for a longest time, I really wanted to be a pilot. And then I realized that there was a lot of maths involved. And I just, like, I've got dyscalculia, I'm dyslexic. And I was like, right, I'm never going to be a pilot because there's a lot of maths involved. I don't know. I genuinely just knew. I think pilot was a thing I clung to because I just knew I wanted to, whatever it was, I just wanted to be captain of that ship.
Yeah,
I didn't really mind what it was, to be honest. I always did music and I always loved music, but I grew up thinking that it was just an impossible thing because
why do you think that was? Do you think some of that was down to like maybe the area you was in?
Yeah, massively, to be honest. No one that I knew was from the East Midlands did anything.
Yeah.
Nobody I knew with like the regional accent did anything. Mm. Nobody, you know, it was very much, you could work at these places, or, you know, the cool people might have ventured out to Nottingham, or, you know, or maybe some, you know, but no, it wasn't, it just didn't seem like you were to do anything big in a small, when you're in a small town, you know.
It's so strange, Tor. It's like I initially set this podcast up to really base it on, and I was going to do each sort of mini series on a certain location, and I was going to start in my home county of Essex. And because there's that, even like the fact that we're literally 20 minutes from London, there's that misconception that you've got to go to London if you want to make it in music.
Right.
And
yeah.
Like, and it's so crazy. And it's like, and it felt like when I spoke to people on here that are from Manchester, they don't have that.
No.
But it felt like everybody, or maybe Glasgow as well, but everywhere else, it's like, yeah, it just didn't feel like there was, you know, it wouldn't happen where I'm from. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Why is that? Do you think? So it is bizarre, isn't it? Because you just think, if you do something good, everyone's from somewhere.
Yeah.
Like,
it's just a fucking postcode. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah. But you really, it's really ingrained. I remember thinking that. I moved to Bristol when I was about 18, and it was because I had to leave. If I was ever going to do anything, I just had to leave.
Yeah.
Which I do think there's a truth to that.
Yeah.
But even being in Bristol, which is like, you know, music capital, there was still this kind of niggling thing of like, well, if you're not in London, though.
Yeah.
You know, just like, what is this? Why is this? Anyway, I think that's that illusion's kind of falling away now, which is quite nice.
Definitely. Yeah. Bristol's earned its stripes.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, yeah, Bristol's amazing, yeah.
I actually went down there. I jumped on the train. Literally the last one I've done before lockdown, I headed into Bristol and chatted to Dev from Idols, who he's a lovely dude and very much all about working in different venues around Bristol as well. Like, yeah, interesting guy. Okay, so also I want to ask, at school, you said you was a bit geeky, and was you confident though?
So there's the weird thing. Absolutely not as a person. As a person, absolutely not. Shy as a mouse. Wouldn't really speak to anyone. Wouldn't start anything. The thing that genuinely saved me was music. If I ever, weirdly enough, I wouldn't put my hand up to talk in a class. But if the opportunity came to perform in assembly or something, I would put myself forwards. And then afterwards be like, why have you done that? Or just opportunities to do anything in music, like with orchestra or whatever it was, I would just run at it and then think about it later.
why would you do that? Was you secretly a bit of a show off? Did you like attention? Like, what was the reasons behind that, do you think?
I think maybe it was kind of just desperately wanting to put myself into something in a way that wasn't me.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't confident. So if I could put myself in something and be like, look, I'm cool. I've got something, like, you know, even then. And I still feel like that now, to be honest, yeah, in a way.
I honestly don't think things like that ever leave you.
No,
I really don't. Like, it's so strange, you know. I say to my daughters all the time, like, not to stress about school. I said, like, you know, don't worry. Like, you know, it's, if you're not good at maths, and it doesn't matter. Like, you're creative. Yeah. That's you will come good. Don't stress with school. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
oh yeah.
But it is weird, that kind of thing of maybe being a bit geeky and not being one of the cool gangs. That kind of, that feeling to kind of sort of prove yourself, I don't think
leaves
you. Oh, totally.
Oh, never. No. And I really do still feel like it in kind of everything that I do. And
it's weird, isn't it?
It's just ingrained. Yeah. You can't get rid of it. You're like, I must prove myself in some way. But, yeah.
All right. Tor, what was the first record you remember buying?
So it was a James Taylor. It was Mudslide Slim.
Nice.
Because I think it was just after I'd moved from home, so I must have been about 16 or 17, the first time I moved, and it reminded me of home. I just went out and bought it because I thought I could stick Mudslide Slim on and it'd be like being at home. So, yeah, I mean, I didn't miss. The thing is, I'm not really a home person either. I really took myself by surprise when I moved out, because I've never been one of those people that's like homesick, or if you went anywhere, it was like, oh, I miss home. It was like, bloody hell, great, freedom.
Yeah.
See you later. and it was weird how it creeps up on you, isn't it? And you're just like, oh, I think I heard it on the radio one day. One of the songs off the album was like, I should probably get that album and just maybe have it. Yeah.
So how was that at sort of 17 or 18, like, going from, you know, a small town to then kind of finding yourself on your own in Bristol? How was that?
It was all right. At the time, I moved with a couple of guys. I was in a band in like a folky, up its own arse band, basically.
What does that mean? Folky, but up its own arse.
I mean, it just was like, it was all really like intricate, like finger tapping on guitar, and like time signatures in 7 or 5.5. And
complicated for just the hell of it.
Oh, it was just, it's nauseating. I'm so glad that it fell apart. but I moved with them. So it wasn't kind of on my own, but it was strange because, Bristol is such a diverse, culturally rich, and the music scene as well. I mean, in Melton Mowbray, like, there was nothing, you know, it's a place you grow up, and to go from that and to be exposed to all this stuff where you could, especially at the time where on in Stokescroft, you could pretty much walk into any place, any night, and see about 20 different styles of music.
Yeah.
So it sort of blows your mind a little bit, and unfree normally as well. And so you get totally spoiled. If you go to Bristol, I think you get totally spoiled culturally. And you kind of, wherever you go from then on, you kind of, the standard is there, and you're like, oh no, this place is awful. But it's all right, it's just not Bristol.
yeah, of course. All right, so I guess when you got to Bristol at 18, the world of clubbing presents itself, obviously, as you've just said. So if you had to pick a song that soundtracked that time, what would you go for?
Now, the cool answer is Faithless and Insomnia, because okay. I remember hearing that quite a lot out and about. The uncool answer, when it's like 3 o'clock in the morning and you've ended up in the grottiest place, at the time Usher's Yeah came out. And that was just every night I think of, I just think of that. Doo, 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 doo. The worst.
Oh, the uncool answers are always better than the cool ones. So what at that age, what did you want from clubbing?
Oh, nothing. Absolutely nothing. I was pretty shy, and like I say, we were all a bit folky and up our own arse, and we kind of went through a stage of thinking we were quite cool and above it all. So to be honest with you, I didn't really want anything from it. I just sort of did it a few times and was like, no, it's not for me. But yeah, and to be honest, gigs were a big thing at that point as well. It was more about, I was interested in gigs.
Who was you going to see back then?
Who was I going to see? Again, I would go back to a lot of Americana gigs. If American bands would come over, John Spencer Blues Explosion.
Oh, one of the greatest bands you'll ever see.
Oh, so good. Again, they came, and you're just so spoilt by stuff like that. Because they came and played this tiny, I think they even played like Beer Keller or something. It wasn't massive, and it's just like, and people like that, or I saw loads of people, I just can't think of anyone. Things like I did see Bonobo a couple of times actually.
Nice.
He was about, and yeah, that was a thing. I kind of started getting into electronic music a few years later in Bristol, because it was looking at the kind of rootsy stuff, and then it kind of went, oh, electronic music's quite big and quite cool as well. So
hello, I've interrupted the podcast again, haven't I? Sorry, it won't take a sec. All I want to say is the songs that we're talking about in this podcast, if we can't play them, it's just because of the regulations regarding playing licensed music and such. So if you want to hear the songs, just go over to Spotify and search Off the Beat and Track podcast, and you can listen to all the songs, because I've put playlists up for each of these.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you can't find it on there, I'll send links on all the social media accompanying each episode. So you've just got to press that one button and you can go through and you can enjoy all the songs that our guest picks. Anyway, I'll shut up, get back to the podcast. See you on the other side. So for track six, I asked you to tell me a favourite song from an artist from your home county. Where are you choosing for that? Are you going for Mount Mowbray or are you going to go for Bristol?
I'm going to have to go East Midlands because...
Wicked, that's good.
It feels like the right thing to do. And it would definitely be Tied Up in Knots by Sleaford Mods, because I heard that track, I must have been in Bristol, and wasn't really used to hearing Leicester East Midlands accents for quite a few years.
Yeah.
Or to hear anybody say how crap things actually were.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of full of people saying, we're still quite arty and we're still cool and blah, blah, blah. It just blew my mind because I was like, oh my God, somebody from Leicestershire has made a run for it and they've fucking done it.
Yeah.
Like, it opened up a whole world. Like, yeah. God.
And had a number one album. What's that all about?
Exactly. And he's just fucking angry. And I was like, oh, it's just, yeah, it was just, it still is. And it was and it is just fucking amazing. Like,
and so did you reach out to him? Because he seems to have nothing but amazing things to say about you.
Oh, wicked. He's just really cool. It was kind of strange because I think what it was is I'd started doing Billy No Mates. I started putting little bits online and stuff. And around the time, I went to a show of theirs. And I was just doing bits. And I think I said something like, oh, fantastic show or whatever. And then I think it was Andrew that started following my music and seeing what I was doing and liking it. And then I hope that it was just kind of a conversation amongst themselves where we then just started a conversation where it was like, I love what you're doing. They were like, oh, I quite like what you're doing. It was like, wow. And then it just kind of snowballed,
yeah.
Which was really nice because it just felt really natural. And it still does. There's nothing where it feels like this weird thing. It's just like, oh, wicked. I think we just kind of like what each other does and it's just cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So, Tor, for the last track, you get to play DJ and you get to pick a song that many may not know that you would like them to hear.
So I'm going to go for an artist called Paul Carreri. And he's kind of Americana-ish artist. He's from Charlottesville, Virginia. And he deserved to be massive. He came over to Bristol. I saw him at the Cube Cinema in Bristol about 8 years ago. And he just deserved to be huge, but it was just like a lot of Americana artists that come here, just so good, but they just never really break through. He had an album called The Big Shitty, and there's a song called Water Tower on there that's just to me, was just brilliant. It's raw. It's a home-done album, which I really like. It's just fantastic, and I don't think many people will hear it because it just didn't get the buzz it needed, but it deserved more.
well, we put a Spotify playlist together to accompany each podcast with all the tracks on there, and obviously some of your stuff as well. We'll dig that out and throw that out there, so hopefully more people will get to get to hear it. So post, I guess while we're in lockdown and when we get out of lockdown, what's the plans, Tor?
Well, I mean, at the moment I've got my debut album coming out still in a couple of months' time. So it will be kind of getting that out to the world in the format that we can. It'll be vinyl, so it's just kind of planning that now and trying to make that go the best we can in a world without live shows, which is just strange.
Are you missing performing?
Massively. Yeah, massively. It's especially with this, because it's an album that's written, I think, for the purposes of live. I imagined as the purposes of live. So it's a strange one. But post-COVID, you know, I'm hoping to get out and tour and do bits and pieces. And I'm hoping next year as well, it's just festival after festival.
Yeah.
And that people are just hungry for it, you know.
Oh, I'm sure they'll be starving for it. Right. I think everybody's desperate to... Just desperate to be able to stroll up to someone and just give them a cuddle and say hello. You can't do any of it.
I know. And, you know, even some people that I've seen recently, I haven't seen many people at all, but some people, the instinct is to just go and you're like, oh, no, you can't. Like,
It's so strange. Yeah. So what's the best place for people to find out about what you're doing, Tor?
So to be honest, at the moment, things like my Instagram is probably quite a good one. I put all my notifications and or just random bits or whatever on that. So that's I Am Billy No Makes on Instagram. I'm on Twitter as well, just like talking crap like the rest of the world, to be honest. I have a Bandcamp page as well, which is just if people go to Bandcamp and just type in Billy No Makes, it'll come up. And other than that, I'm on, because I'm with Invader Records as well. So I'm on Invader Records site as well. So if people want to check out any which way they can,
Wonderful. Well, if it's all right with you, on all the posts that we do with this, then I'll tag you in it so people can find you straight away as well, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, wicked. Yeah.
Lovely. Tor, thanks so much for your time today, mate, and best of luck with everything.
Thanks very much. Great. Take care. Cheers, mate.
There you go. That was great. It was a real joy getting to chat to Tor. Absolutely lovely person and great chat. What more do you want from a podcast, people? Okay, we're back next week. As I said to you at the very beginning, why not have a rummage around in the archives, see what other episodes tickle your fancy. Other than that, there is a Patreon page as well. The best thing you can do is just click subscribe on iTunes or whatever listening format you listen to your podcast on, and you don't even have to worry, and each week these little podcasts will just pop up on your listening device, and by subscribing it really does help support this podcast. You can find out about everything at offthebeatentrackpodcast.com. I'm done, back next week. Take care, people. See you soon. Thanks for listening. Bye bye. Oh yeah, sorry, I've butted in yet again. I just want to quickly tell you about this magazine. It's called Pod Bible. Now, Pod Bible is the new essential guide to podcasts. It's put together alongside Spotify and Acast, and it's a one-stop shop to tell you all about the podcasts you maybe know about, but definitely about a load of the podcasts that you probably don't know about that we think you should know about. I mean, in the first edition, there's interviews with Adam Buxton, interviews with Craig Parkinson. There's features on Jade Adams, and there's just an abundance of information about so many exciting podcasts that are out there. Also, Spotify have given us these amazing little codes. So if you do get a print copy, you can just turn on your Spotify on your phone, scan the little code, and it just automatically opens up the podcast on your listening device. How good's that? If you haven't managed to get a print copy, then just go over to www.podbiblemag.com and read it online, because the digital version is all over there and it's all free. So every other month there'll be a new edition out. So go and have a look and support us on the social medias as well. Podbiblemag.com. is Off the Beaten Track Podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. Keep me, Stu Whiffin.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.